Hi, I'm Shekhar Gupta and I bring to you a fresh episode of Cut the Clutter. As you know, Cut the Clutter is a totally conversational format. I talk to you, I look at the camera and I imagine you, our viewers, our readers, and I talk with all of you. I don't have a teleprompter, I don't have a script. These notes mean nothing. These are just scribbles, just to make me feel that I've done some homework, just like the ink on my fingers. Nevertheless, I thought I will set this one up with a riddle. And then I thought for a moment that you guys are so smart, you people are so smart that you will crack this riddle in 1 minute or 1 moment. Nevertheless, it's interesting to start it this way, so I shall go ahead and do it. So think of a situation where the politicians, the ruling politicians, are telling the judges of the country, telling the Supreme Court of the country, listen, you people, you are too powerful, you have no accountability, you select yourselves, you have the power of hire, promote, and if needed, fire your own. You have no control by anybody. You are dictatorial powers and you need to keep the executive in mind, parliament in mind. Parliament represents a sovereign in the country. They are the most powerful. They should override what you are doing. The separation of powers has gone too far. We need a new committee, a judicial appointments committee, a judicial selection committee, which will then decide which judges will be appointed, which judges will be promoted, etc., etc. This committee will have a representation from the government of the day, that is the executive, from parliament, from the opposition, as well as from the ruling party, as well as the opposition, and a couple of eminent people, etc., etc. Plus, you judges have become too powerful. You strike down any law that you don't like, right? You always say this is against the basic structure of the constitution, etc., etc. You strike it down. You talk too much about human rights, human dignity, etc., etc. Again, forgetting the national interest and also overlooking the kind of dire security situation in which we live. Which country are we talking about? Now, I know that you figured that this is not about India, but this is exactly the debate that we've been watching in India. At this point, this exact debate is reflecting also in the politics of Israel. And in Israel, this has become a very big issue. At various points of time, about 500,000 Israelis have come out in protest. Now, you might say, 500,000, we might have seen 500,000 in India in protests at some point of time, not lately, but at some point of time. But the fact is, this is 500,000 people in a country of just over 9 million people. That means almost 5% or more than 5% of the country's population has been coming out in protest against the changes in the judiciary proposed by the government of Benjamin Netanyahu. Benjamin Netanyahu, as we know, came back to power after many setbacks. There were many prime ministers in between and many dodgy coalitions. So he's also leading a dodgy coalition right now. He has what looks like a comfortable majority, but it's in a coalition. At the same time, he also faces really serious corruption cases with his own judiciary. And he's now gone out to, quote unquote, reform his judiciary, which has divided his nation as almost nothing has done in decades. Probably as Khemraj Jangid, who's a professor at O.P. Jindal University, and he's also an adjunct professor at Ben-Gurion University at Negev. Jangid has written in his op-ed article for the print, of which I'll share a link with you, that the last time Israel saw such protests was in 1982, and that was over what was called as Sabra and Shatila massacres, where it looked like then Israeli defense minister, very controversial Ariel Sharon, who rose higher subsequently, he was defense minister. He was allegedly involved when people wanted an inquiry. Menachem Begin was then prime minister. Those protests succeeded in getting an inquiry. That inquiry indirectly indicted Sharon. Sharon lost his defense ministership, but became agriculture minister, so didn't suffer such a lot of damage. Since then, this is the first time that we are seeing protests of this magnitude in Israel. So what's the issue? So first issue is about appointment of judges. So Israel has had a system of appointing judges, which this lot doesn't like. which the Netanyahu lot doesn't like, because for quite some time now, as is happening in many democracies started out being more left liberal. Israel in particular was very left. So Labour Party ruled Israel for a long time. A lot of the freedom fighters in Israel's early history were from the Labour Party or the leftists. So they defined Israel's politics for a long time, as much as Jawaharlal Nehru may have defined India's politics for a long time. But the wheel of ideology and time and politics turned, and the left got replaced by right in many democracies, including as in India, so in Israel. In fact, in Israel, even before India. Now, as the right came into power, but even before they came into power, they were always complaining that all the constitutional and governance systems that were set up, they were all loaded against the dominant religion, which is Judaism, because Israel is a Zionist republic. Israel has no pretense to being a secular republic, unlike India. Also, that the political system had set up the Judicial Selections Committee that would choose judges to the nation's Supreme Court. In the process, because the system was so loaded on the liberal side, conservative judges were not being selected. So that protest and that campaign was going on. Within that campaign, while that was going on, a bunch of activists came from overseas also. And these were activists of the right. So I see a story in the New York Times, which I am sharing with you, which talks about two of these people, Moshe Koppel, 66, who's a maths PhD from New York, and also from New York, Arthur Danchik, who's 65, a multi-billionaire, who gave the money, and Moshe Koppel set up this organization called Kohelet Policy Forum, which started producing position papers on the libertarian side, but ultimately became the engine to drive this campaign to quote-unquote reform the judiciary. What does the reform of the judiciary mean, and why has it become such a divisive issue? That the rare thing that's happened in Israel is that its armed forces, reservists, are also coming out in protest. Now, Israel has an unusual system. We all know Israel has very strong defense forces, but Israel has, it's a very small population, a very busy country, very small and very busy population. So it maintains a small standing army or small standing armed forces. But since its people have compulsory military service, at least most of them do, it's one of those paradoxes in Israel that people who are the most orthodox Jews in Israel actually do not go to military service. And sometimes orthodoxy is a way of escaping compulsory military service. Nevertheless, let's not digress. Most Israelis have compulsory military service. So they are trained every year. They remain among reservists. If there is a threat to the country or if a warlike situation emerges, there is a call-up. And they all land up in the service of the nation. These reservists who are so valuable, who are like the serving armed forces of Israel in many ways, they are the ones who are coming out in protest. In fact, many of them are now saying that if these laws are passed, if our democracy is undermined, we'll have to think whether it's worthwhile defending the system or not. Some of us might find it unconscionable to go and fight on the call of a government like this, if the system is changed in Israel in such a manner that it is no longer a democracy or no longer adheres to the principles of democracy that our founders had envisaged or promised us. In this situation, all 10 living former Israeli Air Force chiefs, all 10 former living Israeli Air Force chiefs have written a joint letter to the Prime Minister and to Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, saying that this is wrong and protesting. In fact, I read in the Israeli media that Defense Minister Yoav Gallant has threatened to resign, saying that, look, if he can't keep the discipline, if all this anger is going on among his reservists, the reservists in Israel are almost as important as serving armed forces. And he's saying, if that is the case, then I might as well quit. In fact, Israeli media is even quoting, source-based of course, Netanyahu telling people that he's now resigned to the idea of his defense minister resigning and going away. What is the protest about? As I told you, the complaint is about changes which will weaken Israel's judiciary and undermine democracy. This defense minister, who's threatening to resign, by the way, is from Netanyahu's own party. So what is the issue? Israel does not have a written constitution. It does not have a written constitution, but it has basic laws. And these are 11 laws. It's a set of 11 laws, one of which pertains to judiciary. 11 laws which govern the powers of Israeli administrative machinery, the government. So also on how to protect human rights, human dignity, etc., etc. These 11 basic laws. Now, under the 11 basic laws, one is the basic law on judiciary. That provides for a 9-member committee for selection of judges. These 9 members include, one, the Minister of Justice, second, one more minister, so Minister of Justice and one more minister from cabinet, then President of the Supreme Court, like the Chief Justice of Supreme Court, 2 more judges of the Supreme Court, so that becomes 3 judges, 2 representatives of the Knesset, that is the parliament in Israel, and 2 members of the Israeli Bar Association. What this does is, this leaves the government of the day very little power in the selection of judges. And they don't like it. So the right-wing criticism is that with this committee now has the power of appointment, of promotion, of removal. In the process, conservative judges are not being chosen, and also ideological decisions are being taken by the Supreme Court of Israel. And that's why this tension has been going on. Now, under the new changes that are proposed by Netanyahu, first he came up with an idea of reconstituting this committee as 3 cabinet ministers, 2 coalition MKs. MK is like member of parliament, member of Knesset. So that is 3+2, 5. 2 public figures appointed by the government. That is 7 in an 11-member committee. Right, so the government got a majority of 7-4 in this case. Easy going, they would get anything done. Then when protests took place, he said, I'm willing to compromise. And he came up with an idea. And now he's come up with an idea. So in the amended proposal that Netanyahu has put forward, there'll be 3 cabinet ministers, 3 coalition MKs, 3 judges and 2 opposition MKs. That's 11. So once again, government has a majority. But it's a 6-5 majority, and because these are coalitions, there's always an expectation that some MP from the ruling party will have some conscience and will act a little bit better. So this is a compromise formula that is put forward. It's not yet selling very well. It's not yet being accepted, but this is something that he has put forward. The President of Israel, Isaac Herzog, President of Israel is a titular position. He has delivered 3 addresses to the nation, asking for reconciliation on this issue. His 3rd address has been described as an address out of despair, because he thinks that nothing is happening and that his country is at a standstill. So that is the situation Israel is in. Now, these changes, appointments are one thing, but these changes are much more far-reaching than talking about just the appointments. So these changes in the selection committee, in any case, give the government a permanent majority in the selection, promotion and firing of the judges. Now, these changes also put further restrictions on the judges. For example, if the judges want to strike down some new law passed by the government as being violative of basic laws of the country, that is why I made that comparison with the basic structure of our constitution. If these judges have to strike down a law like that, now all 15 judges will have to vote together, en banc, as it's called, all of them by unanimity. Remember, the basic structure doctrine in Indian system was established by a 13-judge bench in 1973 in the Keshavanand Bharti case, which established the basic structure principle with the majority of 7-6. It was a divided verdict. So it was that one judge majority that protected India's constitution. In Israel now, to do something similar, all 15 judges will have to act together or vote together. That's going to be very difficult because some are conservative, some are liberal, so on and so forth. In fact, I read in the Israeli media now that the new compromise proposal that Netanyahu is putting forward, he's now saying, all right, if 12 of the 15 want to do it, they can do it. But what happens? If they strike down one of these laws, it will go back to the Knesset. And Knesset can still pass it with the majority of 61. 61 in a house of 120. So in any case, whichever government is in power will have at least 61 in a house of 120. And if they reenact that law, now the court can no longer review it. So that law will become a pakka law. Then they say in the new changes that the court cannot strike down or amend a basic law. Now, you might say that, look, if the courts are fighting, the whole issue is that courts must have the power to strike down laws that are violative of the basic law. Then why are you saying courts should not review the basic law? Because courts are there to protect the basic law. Why should they be reviewing it and amending it? Because the Knesset now will have the power to make basic laws. So on the one hand, the Knesset has the power to make basic laws. On the other, the court will no longer have the power to review the basic laws that the Knesset now passes. At the same time, the other laws that the court may find violative of the basic laws, even with the majority of 15-0, will come back to the Knesset, can be passed again by the Knesset, and will not be subject to judicial review. In this case, the ruling party or the government will get dictatorial powers in Israel. That is what the issue is all about.